Amen. Praise be to God. Amen. Isn't that great? He thunders. He does. You know, it was such a beautiful day getting up this morning. It was good when we were gone for the weekend, and when we got back Saturday, it was good to see on the back porch most of the snow was gone. And I thought, oh, it's so great, but I just know one thing. There's another storm coming. I'm not trying to be a naysayer here or a pessimist. I just know that when we look and grapple with the gospel this morning, no matter how good things may be, there seems to always be, get ready, because it rains on the just and it rains on the unjust. And I'm not doing this for you guys being the just and you guys being the unjust. I'm just simply saying, get ready, there's a storm coming. I was watching TV this week in the news. You probably saw it. It was an amazing story. These folks went on a 14-day cruise in the Mediterranean Sea on this gigantic ship. Amazing. My wife and I had the opportunity to do that, and we never thought we were kind of the cruise people. We did it. Now we're hooked, okay? Those are awesome. I mean, you get in these gigantic ships with 1,000 people and all the food you can eat and ice cream. I mean, that's just a good deal. It's probably cheaper to live on that thing than pay mortgages sometimes, okay? We were on this thing, and I made the mistake, actually, of saying, I said one time, we were sitting there, and somebody that worked there overheard me, and I said, boy, this is a big boat. And they said, this is not a boat. A boat is what you get on when this is sinking. Is there something you want to tell us? So we were on a big ship. And in the Mediterranean this past week, a big ship was sailing in the Mediterranean Sea, not ocean. And I actually saw the video. I was going to play a clip, and I thought, maybe not. I mean, it's not graphic, but someone was in with the captain at the wheel, and somebody was there filming. And what happened was three waves from 60-mile-an-hour winds hit. Three. And you could see the first one coming. They caught it on video. In fact, a helicopter was out there in this storm, or the winds, and filmed this ship, this gigantic ship. And you could see the first wave as it came, and it was 30 feet high, all three of them. But the first one wasn't as big because of the swales, the way it dipped down, as the second and then the third. And you could see it as it was going up, and it was going to come down. And that first wave came through and hit. And then the second wave hit so hard that the guy dropped his camera and didn't get the third wave recorded on his camera, because you could hear the shattering of glass as that 30-foot wall of water hit the side of that ship and shattered glass on the Lido deck where people were eating. Two people ended up dying through this whole thing. It was horrible. And the ship looked like it was going to flip over and sink. That large vessel, I thought, in the Mediterranean Sea. It was an amazing thing. As we think about that this morning, I think about the story, because I want us to kind of get in and dive into this story with the Matthew story of this stormy day. Because what's happening here is Jesus sends his disciples out. He makes them go. If you open up your Bible, it says immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat. And that's an interesting thing right there. He made them get into the boat. This morning, I want to talk to you about no fear. Because these guys are running two things through their mind you need to understand the story. It's almost springtime, the season, which means there are storms that brew up very quickly in the Sea of Galilee. They're in the northwest area of the Sea of Galilee. These fishermen who are experienced know about storms. I'm not sure, but most commentators write, the storm lasted for at least 9 to 12 hours before Jesus calms it. And he made them get into the boat and cross over. They did not want to get in the boat. Your Bible records that. It's important to understand, sometimes we have to do what we have to do. The question is, why did Jesus make them get in the boat? Why did Jesus make them go into the storm? And there's reasons why. This morning I want to talk to you about, because you can see it in their eyes. You can always see it in people's eyes when they're really there or when they're not. And I want to talk to you about three eyes this morning. The first one is the eye of the storm. The second one is the eyes of Jesus. And the third is the eyes of Peter. Let's take a look at this first one, the eye of the storm. Why would Jesus, in his right mind, make these guys go out and get into the boat? In verse 23, it says, after he dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself. He did not get in the boat. Notice that? Hey, guys, I want you to do something. I won't be there, but why don't you guys go ahead and do it? Hey, guys, the blessing of the bike, have fun. See ya. I'm not going to be a part of it. He makes them get in the boat, and he himself doesn't get in. When evening came, he was there alone, but the boat was already a considerable distance from the land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. I don't know if your Bible says buffeted. It might be translated that it was being hampered, or tormented is a better word. Tormenting waves and wind. You ever been in waves like that? Now, to understand this, they leave about the first watch, the Bible says. Now, the first watch, the Romans would say, a watch is 3 hours. That's 6 to 9 p.m. They get in a boat sometime between 6 and 9, the first watch. They go out into this storm. The wind is blowing like crazy. The waves are crashing. The water's got to be hitting them. The rain's got to be just pelting these experienced fishermen. Can you see them there rowing for about 3 hours in the storm, going, where is he? You ever been there? God sends them into the storm. Second watch of the night, midnight to 3 a.m. And there they are, still rowing, still pounded by wet rain. I don't know if there's any other kind of rain. But there they are. By midnight, 2 a.m., 3 a.m., they're soaked to the bone, and they're still rowing. Could you imagine how tired they are? Third watch of the night. I'm sorry, 9 to midnight, second watch, excuse me. Third watch of the night, midnight to 3 a.m. And they're still out there rowing. And look at what the Bible says. It says they were still a considerable distance from the shore, from their destination. How many times in your life God has sent you out into a storm and you're saying, Lord, where are you? And you wanted him to show up in the first watch of your problem. Have you ever been there where you prayed, God, come on, we could use you here. We could really use you in the middle of this storm. And God says, no, I don't think I'm going to come in the first watch. Second watch, third watch, and God doesn't show up. We have to ask ourselves, what is he trying to teach us? Here's the first eye of the storm. The eye of the storm is, storms I initiate. Storms initiate our faith. Do you know if we didn't have storms in our lives, problems in our lives, how much faith would you need? Think about that. If nobody ever got sick, would you really need faith? If nobody ever died, if nobody ever had financial crisis. We've got storms right now. We've got a few 30-foot waves hitting Michigan. I heard we made national news the other day. Michigan is now the number one state, the number one worst state in the United States economically. I thought, all right, we're number one. Not sure really proud to be number one. Like to be number two or 49 or 50. We're number one. That's a 30-foot wave many of you have experienced and are right now in the middle of this economic storm. Many of you are saying, God, why haven't you shown up? I need you. I'm about to go under. Have you ever been there where you've been rowing with God and rowing with God and rowing with God and you're actually no closer than when you started? You might even be further away. These guys are buffeted or tormented by the wind. This summer, I went out to do something. I'd never participated in it. My kids participated. Went down on the river float. When I talk about buffeted by the wind, you know, our river is one of the fastest riverways in the United States where it channels in to the St. Clair River. That's a very dangerous passage. That water flows pretty fast. Do you know that they were pulling people back because the wind was blowing from the south and it was pushing our rafters and floaters back up river? I'd never seen anything like that. I thought, well, it goes this way. Oh, no, we were going this way. I went out with a kayak and sure enough, I was going the wrong way and I was paddling and paddling and paddling. These men had been out there all night long. How many Christians have you walked in your faith or your marriage or your life, kids you've tried in your high school or junior high, people you've been walking in your faith, and somewhere you feel buffeted. It's as though the world has just absolutely stopped you. And God says, keep rowing. And you're thinking, God, You left me back there alone. Where are you, Lord? I have been praying and praying. I've been praying. I wake up in the middle of the night. I'm so stressed. These guys have been rowing all night long. It's because of these storms. Don't curse the storm. Here it is. Embrace the storm. Pastor, you got to be kidding me. No, I'm not kidding you. I believe that your faith will grow in the storm. God is trying to do something in your life. God wants to do something amazing in our lives. And so oftentimes we want the easy road. You don't need much faith in the easy road. You understand what I'm talking about? See, when you're out in the storm, your prayers change. When you're standing in the shallows in knee-deep water, that's where the minnows are. You know those little minnows, and they come up, and it's like, what was that? Not a big deal. When you're out there in the ocean, and you've got sharks and whale, you start praying like a whale of a faith. You start praying that way. You see, God wants to get us into a whale-like faith. He doesn't want us in the shallows. Lord, I just hope you help me. Oh, no. When you're out there, I'll tell you what. When you're sick and you don't know the answers and the doctor says, I'm sorry, there's nothing we can do. Your prayers aren't, oh, Lord, could you help me? Your prayers are, Lord God, I don't know what I'm going to do. When are you going to show up? Your prayers change in that moment. You know, your Bible says in James, I love the Apostle James. He's known in your Bible as Camel Knees. He's called Camel Knees. It's Jesus' brother, his physical brother. And he's called Camel Knees because he spends so much time talking to God. And in James chapter 1, your Bible records this. I'd love to have you turn over and look at this. He tells you when you're in the middle of those storms and you're buffeted by the world, know this, it is this that activates your faith. As you're turning over there, let me tell you, years and years ago, I did something. I don't know why I did. I just thought it'd be a fun summer job. I went and got my life-saving certificate to be a lifeguard. And then they said, hey, we're offering a crash course for 30 hours straight for 3 days, 10 hours a day. Would you like to get your WSI? I said, I'd love to get it. Water safety instructor. I can train lifeguards. I said, that'd be a great thing to have. So I got it. And I lifeguarded. One of the things they taught us was that when you're going to rescue someone who's out in a storm or out in the water or out in the pool, and you want to rescue, the last thing you want to do is get in the water. You want to exhaust every resource that you can before you enter that water. In fact, there was a true story about a guy who was drowning. He was out there, and he was just flailing away and screaming for help. And a man was standing by the lifeguard, and the lifeguard was just standing there. He didn't have any way of reaching this guy with his rope or his pole. And so he just waited for a while before he was going to go in the water and go rescue the man. And the guy's just screaming at him, why aren't you going to go in there? He says, no, I'm going to wait. See, I'm going to wait until he exhausts all of his energy. And when he exhausts all of his energy and his resources, then I'm going to go out and save him. See, a lot of times, God says, I'd like to come and rescue you. I'd like to come and save you. But right now, you're doing it in your own power. You're doing it in your own rescue. See, in the lifeguarding situation, you don't want to have a double drowning. You want to wait till they get to a certain point where you can rescue them. Now, that may not sound nice, but the last thing you want is two people drowning. And God says to us, I want you to know something. When you've exhausted all your resources, in the fourth watch of your night, when you're exhausted, when you're tired, when you're at the wit's end, I'm going to show up at just the right time. And I love Peter. He says, Lord, save me. And Jesus reaches out at just the right time, and he saves him. God's always doing that. Now that you're over in James chapter 2, or chapter 1, verse 2, look at what it says about storms in life. It says, consider it pure what? Your Bible says it's joyous to be in a storm. I don't know how many of you walk around going, I am so glad I'm going through this. I'll tell you what, the bank just repoed my house. Praise God. Some of you are going, praise God, they can have it. How many of you are going, you know what, God? I've got this sickness in my body, and the doctor said there's absolutely nothing they could do. Thank you, Jesus. I just want to praise you today. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, when you face trials of many kinds, storms of many kinds. That's what your Bible says. Because the testing of your faith, here's that eye, the eye of the storm, it initiates your faith. The testing of your faith produces perseverance. And your Bible goes on, look at it, it says, perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and, here's the Greek word, your Bible says, complete, perfect. It's the Greek word teleion. God wants to make you perfect in your faith. You see, if there wasn't a storm in your life, you'd never learn how to row. If there wasn't a storm in your life, you may not know how to pray with faith. See, you could pray, and then you get yourself out and say, boy, I bailed myself out. I just worked a little harder at that job. I bailed myself out. I just ate better food, which is, by the way, good to work, and it's good to eat healthy foods. But can I tell you something? We need to give credit to God, because God says, in Him we live and we move and we breathe and we have our being. See, it is God who is the sustainer of life. He gives and He takes away. When we get into that place in our lives, God wants to get us out into the sea. So when we're out there, we go, you know what? I'm so far from shore, I have no hope but Jesus. When you get into a place where you have no hope but Jesus, you have ultimate hope. Some people say, well, that's no hope at all. Well, I got to trust my doctors. I got to trust my government. I got to trust the stimulus to get this financial thing turned around. I've got to trust this to happen. Can I tell you something? We need to put our trust in Jesus. You know, the storms are going to keep coming. You know, are things going to turn around? Probably. Are you going to get healthy again? Probably. Are you going to get sick again? I can guarantee you. Are you going to have financial bills again? I can guarantee you. Are you going to have conflict? Absolutely. As sure as a giant ship gets 3 30-foot waves in the Mediterranean, guess what? There's one just swelling up with your name on it. It's not a matter of if you're going to go through it, but when you're going to go through it. And Jesus says here very clearly, I love this. It says that they were buffeted by the wind. Can I tell you, this is a beautiful picture here. I love this picture. Tim Holcomb, what a blessing. He's right now painting the next one. But this isn't the story that we just read. This is actually taken from Mark chapter 4. I was looking at this thinking, Jesus on the front of a boat in the middle of a storm. Sounds like it, but it's not. This is not uncommon for fishermen to run into this. Mark chapter 4, they were out on the sea and a storm popped up and caught them. And you know what happened? The Bible says the disciples started screaming, we're going to die out here. We're going to die. Where's Jesus? And you know where Jesus was? He was asleep in the storm. And you know what he was sleeping on? A pillow. I love the idea that my God sleeps on a pillow. You know what that tells me? It could be storming on the outside, but it's peace and calm on the inside. You see, when God's working in my life, it can rage on the outside, but He's got, you know why He was sleeping? Because He's got everything under control. My God always has things under control. While it might look crazy on the outside, by the way, don't confuse God with life. Don't say this is God doing this. This is life happening, okay? God's in the midst of it, but life is happening. Let's not confuse those two things. And right there, I look and I love the disciples. They said, go wake Him up. And so they go and they wake Him up. Maybe the storm in your life is just God trying to wake up Jesus inside of you. Maybe for some of us, our faith just hasn't been initiated. It hasn't been activated. And God's saying, I would like to really have you walk by faith. And so He's trying to put a storm in our life, and it says, time to wake Jesus up. Watch what happens when Jesus wakes up in your life. You'll see things that are supernatural. You'll see things that God does. You'll find peace. You'll find that joy that James writes about. But so many of us never go to Jesus. So many of us are out there in the storm and we're trying to do it ourselves, or we just give up and say, God, I quit. I just quit. You never showed up. And God says, you know what? You were a mile from victory. You were one day from a miracle. Why did you give up so quick? So quick. We've been out here 9 hours rowing this boat. Have you rowed a boat for 9 hours in a storm? And where were you? You were up on a mountain and you left me. Oh, I'm on my way. The eye of the storm. The eye of the storm is initiate. Wake Jesus up. I'll tell you what, a storm will wake Jesus up. I get a lot of people call me. People don't call the pastor too often when things are going good. And that's okay. The pastor's got things to do too. But I'll tell you what, the phone rings off the hook when there's problems. And it ought to ring off the hook. We ought to call each other for prayer. Absolutely. These guys weren't rowing alone, folks. Could you imagine being in that boat alone? What a horrible place to be. Jesus never sent His disciples alone. They were always at least 2 by 2 or 12 or 70. Never go alone, especially in the storm. Get someone and surround yourself with it. If you see someone in the storm, jump in the boat. I'm not getting in the boat. Are you kidding me? They're going through that. I'm not going through that. No. Jesus says, have compassion on one another. You read 1 Corinthians chapter 2, Christian. And your Bible tells you to come alongside. In fact, it's a nautical term. It means to grab like a tugboat. You see a boat that's in trouble, it means to tie your boat to that boat that's sinking and bring them into the shore. Go read 1 Corinthians chapter 2 when it says, comfort those with the same comfort that you have received. And that's exactly what he's talking about. The eye of the storm, it's initiate. And then Jesus shows up. Let's look at the eye of Jesus. This is beautiful. Look at verse 27. But Jesus immediately said to them, by the way, if you're out in the water somewhere and you see someone walking on the water, you've got to ask yourself two questions. Am I awake? Do I drink too much? You see someone walking, that's impossible, Pastor. People don't walk on the water. Can you just help me out here? I think it says in verse 26, when the disciples saw him walking where? On the lake, on the water. That is a preposition. It didn't say he's walking in the water. It didn't say he's walking through the water. It did not say he's walking under the water. There was a great Methodist leader at the turn of the century, and they say, defining in the Methodist movement, this is where people stopped calling themselves Methodists. There was a big exodus in the Methodist movement. One of the great leaders wrote a commentary. I was reading his commentary recently, and he said about this story, Jesus did not walk on the water. People don't walk on water. Science tells us that's not possible. He said Jesus was simply wading through the water. Listen, if it's storming, and you're out there swimming in these giant swales and the rain is pounding and the wind is blowing, when you swim up to a boat, your first thing is, help me in. Not, hey guys, want to come on out with me? Okay? Jesus was walking on the water. And that's what the Bible says. And I'm going to say, the Bible's right. Just my opinion. Says it, but Jesus immediately said, because they said, I love this, it's a ghost. I think it's a ghost. You know, they almost missed Jesus in those waves. He could have walked right on by and gone to the other side and left them out there all night. They could have missed Jesus. Don't miss Jesus because of your storm. You're out there because he wants to walk in your storm. They cried out in fear. There's that fear. And Jesus said immediately, take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid. Fear is not a friend of faith. Fear is not a friend of faith. Fear will paralyze you. It's true. I'm looking at this and I said, I like Peter's response. Lord, if it's you, tell me to come on out. I love that. Here it is. Here's the second eye. The first eye is the eye of the storm. Here's the eye of Jesus. If the eye of the storm is to initiate our faith, the eye of Jesus is to intimidate our faith. Intimidate? Watch this. Jesus said, it's me. He wasn't recognizing and saying, it's me. He uses a Greek word here that's used in the Hebrew in Exodus chapter 3. In Exodus chapter 3, Moses is out in the wilderness all by himself. And he sees a burning bush. And as the bush is burning, it begins to talk to him as he's out there by himself. And he says, who are you? And he says, I am that I am. You are. God, you are the great I am. This is the exact same word. Jesus didn't say, it's me. Jesus said, when Peter said, who are you? The Lord said, it's me. The great I am has just shown up on the scene. The great I am has just shown up. You see, there's a confidence in knowing that the great I am is with you. Not just that it's Jesus, but it's that Jesus is God. He says, I am that I am has just shown up. What do you need? I'm hungry. Well, I am the bread of life. Well, I'm thirsty. I am the living water. I need salvation. I am the life, the truth, and the way. And anyone who follows me will go to heaven. I am that I am has just shown up at the right time. That's what we need in our lives. See, I don't need you showing up. I don't need David Hasselhoff from Baywatch showing up. Listen, if I'm out in my storm, who I want in my life is the great I am. Who is the great I am? The lightning bolts say, who just showed up? It is the great I am. We bow down to your command. Where would you like us to go? Read the book of Job. It says the hailstorms sit in their storehouse waiting for the command of God. The great I Am has just shown up on the scene. You know what that does for me? When the great I Am shows up in your storm, I'll tell you what, you can walk with your head up because the great I Am has just shown up and nothing will happen to you. Nothing will happen to you unless He allows it. And He will not allow His children to go through that which He hasn't prepared them for. The great I Am has just shown up and He's got the authority. They said, is it a ghost? By the way, your Bible, that word ghost is the Greek word phantasm. It's where we get the word phantom. Is it phantasm or is it enthusiasm? Because it goes from phantasm to enthusiasm. It goes from, it's just a ghost, to enthusiasm. It's the Lord. It's the great I Am. By the way, the word enthusiasm is the word entheos, God within. It goes from just a ghost to God's in my storm. I want to move from the phantasm to the enthusiasm. How about you? I want to move into that place where I can praise God in my storm. See, James wrote something interesting. In that James chapter 1, it went on to say, when you're in your storm, if you ask God of anything, He'll give it to you, but you must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is a double-minded man. He's unstable. He's like the wave of the sea, tossed and blown about by the wind. In other words, oh, everything's good. I got money in the checkbook. My marriage is doing good. Kids aren't rebelling. Whew, I can praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Here's where a double-minded man is. I'm in the middle of my storm. Things are going falling apart. God, oh, what a horrible day I'm having. I'm sorry. Is it really a horrible day that makes God God? And is it really a good day that makes God God? Or is He just always God? He's always God. A double-minded man says, well, because this is happening, I can praise Him. But because this is happening, I can't praise Him. We've got to get to the place, he says, when you go through these things, you must ask and believe and not doubt. Do not become a double-minded person in one of the waves of the sea that every wind that blows moves you. Lots of winds are coming, folks. The question is, will you stand with the eye of Jesus? And that's intimidate. The very one who speaks to those storms is in my life. He has that strength. I want you to know that today Jesus Christ is in your storm. He may not have shown up. Some of you are only in the first watch. You've been out there rowing going, oh boy, here it comes. You see that trial coming. You're in there rowing. Some of you are in the fourth watch and you're thinking, if He doesn't show up pretty soon, I don't think I can row anymore. Can I tell you something? He's going to show up. He's already here. My Bible tells me He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. Jonathan, over in Japan, your God is going to be with you wherever you go. For Sergeant Schultz, for Specialist Olson, for you guys, no matter where you go, whether it's a foxhole, a trench hole, whether it's an office space or a helicopter, He says, wherever you go, I will be with you. Be very strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Have I not told you, I command you again? Do not be afraid. Be strong and very courageous. Do not go to the left. Do not go to the right. And I will be your God. And everywhere you put your foot, I will give it to you. Verse 8, 9, and 10 of Joshua 1. God is with you, and He will always be with you. He has got the power to intimidate. I love it. There's never been a demon, a sickness. There's never been anything that God hasn't met that He couldn't handle. The only thing that He can't handle that God ran into, the only thing Jesus in His 33 years on this earth that He could not handle was doubt and fear. Do you know the only thing He couldn't do is convince people to believe in Him? He could heal the sick. He could raise the dead. He gave sight to the blind. He cast demons out of just pretty much anybody, believers and unbelievers. He could handle any of those things. The only thing He couldn't handle was doubt and fear. When someone had doubt and fear, the Bible says they could not find miracles. They could not find salvation. They could not find God. I got to watch a young man this weekend that was phenomenal. His name is Taylor Massa. He's a wrestler. He's about 15 years old. I've never seen anyone who has the ability this guy has. My son wrestled with him when he was a freshman, going in his freshman year. He met him at Michigan State. Taylor's father is the Michigan State's athletic director. He built his son a studio wrestling thing that's the size of a warehouse in their backyard year-round. Plus, he gets to wrestle with the Michigan State wrestling team. He was he was a seventh grader going into eighth grade, and they were at this camp, and they said, okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to go up this rope in this gym that's got to be 25, 30 feet. We're going to climb this rope. and you're only going to use your hands. Let's see who can do it the most. And my boy went up 5 times. I was like, wow, that's awesome. 5 times. I don't think I'd get up at 5 feet. He went up at 5 times and down. And then the captain of the team from our school went up at 6 times. I was like, wow, this little 140-pound seventh grader goes over to it, grabs that rope, goes up and down 12 times. This year, he's 60-0, just won his second state championship. As a freshman last year, nobody beat him. This year, not only did nobody beat him, but going into the state finals or into the states, nobody had even gone 6 minutes with him. He pinned every single person he's ever wrestled this year. Nobody got 6 minutes with this kid. And I'm thinking to myself, you have got to be, that's got to be intimidating. I'd walk out on the mat going, don't hurt me. I just want to go 6 minutes. Please. Could you imagine the intimidation kids would have thinking, here he is, just that name. That's Masa. I want you to know, Christian, that is Jesus. The eye of Jesus is intimidation. There's not a demon that goes, I can't go 6 minutes with this Savior. There's not a sickness that can do 5 minutes with this Savior. There's not a situation or storm that Jesus can't speak into your life that looks at Jesus and says, I can't do 6 minutes with this guy. Devil couldn't do 6 minutes with him. When Jesus died and on that cross was buried after that and for 3 days, the Bible says he descended. He went and took the keys of the gates of death, or the keys of death. He conquered death, and the devil couldn't do 6 minutes with Jesus. I want you to know something. Our God is a great God. And the eye of Jesus is the I am of I ams has just shown up in your storm. I am the bread of life. I am the gate. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall you live. I don't care how big that wave is, folks. Your boat's not going under when you have him as the captain of your destiny. Jesus Christ is the Savior of our life. What a great thing to know that nothing can do 6 minutes with this great God. Have I got just a minute to finish this? The eye, let's go to the last one. The eyes of Peter. Then Peter got down out of the boat. He walked on water and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, fear. And he began sinking, and he cried out, Lord, save me. And immediately, Jesus reached out his hand. I like that. Immediately, Jesus didn't wait. When you need salvation, immediately Jesus will save you. He doesn't wait. He doesn't tell you, come back tomorrow. We're busy. I'm sorry, it's a holiday. We're closed. Heaven is never closed. Isn't that amazing? We want God to answer us in our time. And sometimes we don't have time for him, but his door better be open 24 hours a day for anything I need. And when he doesn't show up, we get disappointed. And yet God just asks, hey, how about just a few minutes a day? I'm pretty busy. Immediately, he reaches down, and he grabs a hold of Peter, and then he gets into a name calling. Your Bible uses 4 words. It's actually 1 word, and it's a name. It's a title. It's a nickname. Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand, and he caught him. He said, you have little faith. It's actually 1 Greek word that means little faither. Hey, little faither, why did you doubt me? And he pulls him up into the boat. Now, you think it might be derogatory. It's actually not. It's a compliment. When he says, you have little faith, he's saying, little faither. He's like, wow, Peter, you swam in this lake so many times in the Sea of Galilee. You've been here. You've swam in this. How did it feel when you stepped out, all of a sudden on your feet, it felt like marble. You were walking on water. And then you took your eyes off the prize. You know what? You know what Peter's eye is? It's imitate. You were imitating me. You were watching me. You ever see anybody imitate? Kids do it all the time. You got to be careful. I was in Chicago one time with our CIA. I kidnapped a group of kids, and don't ask. Anyway, we had taken these kids. We don't tell them where we're going. We tell the parents, okay? All right, there we go. I borrowed about 20, 25 teams. We're in Chicago. We're doing a leadership thing years and years ago. And I was showing a trick. I do this thing with a straw where it goes in my ear, out my nose, out my mouth, out my eyes, in my eyes, out my nose, out my... I can do, and it's a trick, okay? Don't try this at home. I'm a professional. We're sitting in the Chicago pizzeria, and we're doing this. The kids are just cracking up. They're going, that's great. It looks so real. And I'm doing this stuff and going through with this straw. And all of a sudden, I hear this man about three tables over screaming at his three boys, stop sticking those straws up your nose. The kids were watching me, and I didn't know it. And they were shoving these straws up their nose. And I thought, be careful what you do, because people will imitate you. And it's in their eyes. You can see it in their eyes. Can I tell you something? Peter saw it in Jesus' eyes. He saw something. He said, now here's someone I can follow. Here's someone I'm going to imitate my life with. Wherever you go, come on out. And he had eye-to-eye contact, and he's watching. He goes, can I come out of the boat? And he's got eye-to-eye contact, and Jesus says, come on out, Peter. And while they're watching each other, Peter's walking, and he's feeling a supernatural. Can I tell you, if you get your eyes on Jesus and stay focused, the eye is imitate him. If you will imitate him, you will see the supernatural in your life. Didn't the Bible say, I thought Jesus said, what you see me do, you will do even greater things. Don't be double-minded. Well, I know he said greater things, but who walks on water? Peter. I walked on water last December. Walking on water. You want a miracle? You want the natural to be supernatural? You know God has done supernatural things in your life. It's not natural what God has done in your life. Me standing up here is not natural. A 17-year-old kid with hair halfway down his back, smoking bongs and doing drugs and robbing houses in California, that might be natural. But God getting a hold of my heart and transforming my life, because the great I am got a hold of me. I am the gate, and I walk through that gate. And I want you to know, I stand up here because God did something supernatural. You want something supernatural? You just wait in a couple weeks when the bees start coming out. And you ask every scientist, how come he's flying? Because science says aerodynamically, that's impossible, not natural. So don't tell me God's not doing the supernatural in your life. You just got to get your eyes on him and off of the waves and off of the wind and off of the people who are still sitting in the boat. And you got to just walk and go, I see you. And my eye is imitate. And imitation is the best form of flattery. I will imitate you. And we find Peter about a year later, and he's walking to church one Sunday. And there's a man sitting there, and he's crippled. And Peter's about to imitate him. He says, hey, you want to see something cool? The man says, I could just use a few bucks. Please give me something. He says, I'll give you, I don't have any money. Silver or gold, I don't have. But in the name of Jesus, watch my eyes, walk. The man got up. He needed the supernatural. He walked. Then they wanted to kill Peter. They said, what did you do? I healed him. Well, what did you do? Ask him. He's the one walking around. What do we do? Everybody saw it. It happened right in front of them. We got to get our eyes on Jesus. Because sometimes we get distracted. We get distracted. You know, you ever get distracted? You know what I'm talking about? Some of you are doing that. Isn't that funny? I started squinting. I was watching to see. You guys are going, why am I squinting? I don't know. He was squinting. I did that in an Arby's one time. The kid's like, do it, Pastor. Go do it. I said, okay. Because, see, your eye is imitation. People, if you got their eyes, you got them. I'm in Arby's. I'm like, hey, I'd like to order this. I ordered it. And the lady goes, that'll be $8. I had 20. I said, I don't have, you don't take out-of-state cash, do you? And she does this. I'm not kidding. She looked at me and she went, no, we don't. And these guys, the youth, are going, this is great. And I said, and then the lady goes, what? I said, you don't take out-of-state cash, do you? And she goes, no. And we don't take American Express or MasterCard either. I went, man. And then I pulled out the 20 and I held it up. I go, this is all I have. And she goes, sorry. And I'm not kidding you. She went and she got a manager. The manager comes back and I thought, could I? I know it's higher up on the food chain. So I said, she goes, what's the problem here? I testify, this is a true story. It's not in Michigan, okay? It's my home state, those Dakotans. And she looks at me and she goes, what's the problem? I said, and the gal says, he only has out-of-state cash. And she looks at me with this look and I go, you don't take out-of-state cash, do you? And the lady looked me right in the eyes and she goes, no. No, we don't. And we don't take American Express or MasterCard either. I'm holding the 20. I'm showing it to her. I'm thinking, she's pulling my leg and she's sitting there going, nope. So I turn around to one of my youth sponsors. I said, anybody got change for a 20? He hands me two 10s. I go, oh, good. I got a 10. And she took it and made change. And I thought to myself, only in America. If you get them in the eye, if you look them in the eye, you see, fear not. You can tell by the look in their eye. God, I'm going to do this. Really? God, I'm looking you straight in the eye, Jesus. You tell me to do it, I'm with you 100%. Whatever you want. You want me to walk on water? I can walk on water? You got it. You want me to do what? You got it. You want me to do what? Look me in the eye. Don't get distracted. You got it. You see, when God is within, that's enthusiasm, not phantasm. Other religions might have phantasm. That's a ghostly kind of a, huh, I saw it, I think, I saw it. No, we have enthusiasm, God within. When God's within, the anchor holds, though the ship is battered. The anchor holds, always. I'm rooted in Christ, the great I am. How are your eyes this morning? How are your eyes this morning? Let's stand and pray.